A photograph doesn't just capture an image, it captures moments. While all art forms inform, accent, and contextualize life, photography literally shows life. Whether you're a hobbyist, amateur, or professional, the great gift of apprehending a moment in time is just literally at your fingertips. Today, we have a conversation about the power, responsibility, and techniques of that gift. Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Warehouse. I'm your host, Josh Johnson. And today, like always, we have an incredibly special guest and a really cool conversation. We have joining us Will Stith. Will, I appreciate you for coming out today.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. This
Absolutely.
Is awesome.
So we're going to talk photography today. Ooh. And I want to start out by asking you a very specific question. I might even get you in trouble. Not really. The hobbyist versus the professional. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes you hear this narrative that, you know, photography is photography. Anybody can do it. Mm-hmm. And somebody who does it as a professional or as a medium of art, where do you stand on that?
You know, it's interesting. Like, if you get into photography, like Instagram or photography YouTube,
sure,
there's people doing different things with it. So there's like professional photographers who I wouldn't think of as artists per se, but they do things like product photography or things like that, yeah. Right? Or people who use photography as their profession. And I respect that because things like doing like weddings or anything like that is like super pressurized in my opinion. But then there's like the world of like art photography, which is definitely weirder and different.
That's just where I wanted you to
yeah.
go. It lends more to the imagination. And I got you. You weren't taking anything away from the craft side of it.
Right.
But it doesn't always marry with the art side of it.
Right. And those people who are really good at the craft side of it, I mean, I don't know a lot of the, like, technical things around photography. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the, like, circle of confusion and all of this, like, the, you know, logarithmic to, like, figure out exactly how much light is, you know, all of that stuff. I don't know any of that. But I guess what I'm interested in is just a little bit different than that. I wouldn't want to get too deep. I'm not a very technical, like hard, like getting into the weeds of like sure. gadgets and whatnot kind of person.
So you know what? It was a beautiful segue, and you kind of answered the question that I was going to ask later on. But since mm-hmm. you touched on it, I'm going to ask it now. I thought about it, and photography is one of the only art forms where you have to work with light in real time. Mm-hmm. You just kind of expressed that that's never really been an interest of yours, but it still is a reality of what you do, even if it's avant-garde, even if it's cutting edge, you're still having to deal with light or the negative space. What is that experience like? Is it ever right? Do you mm-hmm. use it, how it comes, or do you manipulate it?
Okay, so I do want to specify. Uh-huh. Working with light is integral, so sure. I am interested in that part. I'm thinking of more of, you know, Sony puts out a new camera every, you know, every half a year.
Sure.
Right? So a lot of the, like, tech specs, and there's, like, a lot of tech specs that I just aren't interesting to me at all. Or they're not for me. They're maybe for sports people or whatever. Mm-hmm. But with light, yes, I do manipulate light.
Talk to us about that.
So I want to, I guess, say out front, in the beginning, I mostly worked in street photography. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of have the light that is there, but you do have to think about, like, where is it coming from? What time of day are you shooting? Is it cloudy? All of that stuff. But for me, I was mostly just looking for something interesting that I wanted to, like, take, put a box around. Mm. And then I kind of evolved into, or devolved, who knows, into using more flash, daylight flash. I just got more and more interested in like manipulating where the light was coming from. And now my practice is completely different. So yeah, but definitely manipulating light or just knowing what is happening with light is super important.
So let me ask you this. This is a question that I crop up every now and then, and I think it's perfect for you. Mm-hmm. It might even be adversarial. Mm. The question is, is there a responsibility to art? Does art have a specific responsibility? I've gotten so many different answers to that question that I could give you a list of 100. I'm interested to hear yours prefaced by some of the stuff that you've said earlier. Is there a responsibility to art?
Is there a responsibility to art? It's an interesting question. I would say no, but as a thing, as a concept even, I would say art doesn't have any responsibility. But I think you can make art that has responsibility. Like, you can make art that is responsible to, like, whatever your vision is, right? But as a concept, I don't think art needs to be responsible for anything at this point. I mean, maybe, you know, back in the Renaissance, it was responsible for showing Christian things or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Like, but at this point, I mean, post, you know, Duchamp putting a toilet in the, I mean, like anything can be art, right?
Sure.
So, I mean, the guy sold that banana taped to a wall.
Taped to the wall.
Like, so, yeah, I don't think that art has any specific responsibility.
Let's go back to the track that we were on. We were talking about light. And when I thought about light, I also thought about something else that's specific to you, light work. Let's talk about that and your experience with that organization.
Okay, so Light Work, if people don't know, is a nonprofit organization in Syracuse, New York. And I stumbled upon them. I think I was just Googling dark room maybe, and I was living up there. And it came up, and I just strolled in and, like, joined the same day. And I started just spending a lot of my time there, and I miss it because there's nothing, I mean, there's not a lot of things like it anywhere, but so yeah, light work is great. They taught me a lot of things about dark room and stuff like that. And they opened my mind to things. So when I got in, I was pretty locked into street photography. That was the only kind of photography I ever saw. And I think one of the first shows that they were doing was by Melissa Cantanese. But her work is all found work. It's not all found work, but she does mostly found photography. She goes into an archive and takes photographs from different places and puts them together. And it's, like, amazing. And that was the first time I ever saw that. And I was like, wait, so you can be a photographer and you don't even have to take a picture at all. Right? Like,
and tell us what that means.
Like, you can be an artist and work with other material, like other people's work. I don't even call it work because it's mostly snapshots. It's snapshots that have, you know, people go to like a, now this is hard to do, but people would go to like flea markets and just buy pictures by the pound, right? And you can just have all of these like snapshots and start sequencing them. And then the art is in the sequence and putting them together and then cropping them. You take it, scan it, and then you can change the photo because you can take stuff out. And that combination activates the photo in a different way. So you've changed the concept of what it was or the context of what it was. And that's the interesting thing about photography for me as well. And that's the one thing that even being in this program, I've realized that putting things together, like photographs, like just one photograph to me isn't as interesting as photographs in a sequence.
You know, that's a perfect segue because I was going to ask, when you brought up Darkroom earlier with your Google search, you made me think of a film by actually a local filmmaker. He's in California now. His name's Neil Butler. And it's a really cool little short film. It's called The Lab Man. And it's talking about this guy. His name's Art. And he's the darkroom guy. He's like the famous darkroom guy in L.A. or north of L.A. Mm-hmm. And process is a huge part of this film.
Oh, yeah.
You just touched on your process a bit. But now let's talk about the end result of that process. Was light work, did they have anything to do with your show in Berlin?
No.
No?
That was University of Hartford.
Ah.
So I was in a show at Light Work.
Uh-huh.
And literally the show opened And the next day I started my program at University of Hartford, which was insane. So I went to like the opening and then I drove east over to Connecticut. Uh-huh. And the show in Berlin, which you can, if you're interested, go to gravityisaproblem.com, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gravity is a Problem is the name of the show. And so that is the work that was done here in Tallahassee. And that was the work where I was shooting on film, walking around. Mostly the street work that I was doing. Mm-hmm. And once again, I still love street work, but now it's like self-portraiture and weirdness.
So what types of stuff did you have in the Berlin exhibit?
That was, all of it was shot here in Tallahassee. And it was, so once again, I keep calling myself a street photographer, even though I don't do any of that now. But like, I was interested, I got here and I said, how can I shoot street in Tallahassee when it's, everybody's just in a car? Nobody walks. But then I said, wait, but everybody, there's sidewalks everywhere, mm-hmm. right? But no one's ever on them. That was the one thing I noticed. Is like, no one's ever on the sidewalk. So what if I went and shot the street and the sidewalk and made the sidewalk the subject of, the sidewalk would be like the main subject of each photo. And as I got into it, I got more and more kind of, at first I was like, what is this? This is terrible. Like, this is just empty. It's like, but then I showed it to my advisor and he was like, you should keep doing this. And so I said, okay, I'll keep doing it. And I was also learning a lot of analog, lots of mistakes. Mm-hmm. By the end, it was becoming more and more kind of a typology. And so it was getting more and more like German Beschery. And I realized I am like, I am not German. I am not like the Beschers, although their stuff is insane and blows my mind. Mm-hmm. Just like at first you're like, what is this, a water tower? And then it's like water tower, water tower, water tower, water tower, water tower. And then you just realize it's like these people are psychopaths. Like how did they, every shot is the same. It's just a different water tower. And then like how did they do this? Mm-hmm. But it was getting more into that, and that is not my personality. I'm not like, oh, I'm very German. Everything has to be in the right place. I'm not like that, so.
Does your personality bleed into your work? And I know that sounds like a crazy question, but from my orbiting artists for all of these years, sometimes people try to extract their personalities from their work to remove themselves completely. Are you the opposite? Do you try to inform your work by your personality?
Yeah, I wouldn't know how to not do that. Especially in my like street work, I think I have a style of shooting that when I talk to other people, they don't get, which was very, even like my classmates are like, how do you see that?
And, I'm like, and it's also, that sounds like a compliment.
Yeah, thank you.
It does, it really does.
but like it's, yeah, so I can't not have that happen because I don't know. I just don't think the same way that other people, and nobody thinks the same way. But I don't know how you could not have your
personality
come out.
Before I let you go, I always say the greatest form of education is exposure. And we're sitting down with somebody who has a peripheral and specific view of photography. If there are any hobbyists out there, I'm raising my hand for the people that can't see. If there are any hobbyists out there, what types of cameras would you suggest?
Oh, God. The one you have.
The one that you have. I love
so,
that.
I mean, like, your phone is great. I mean, this work that I'm doing now, I'm using my old iPhone. But I would say, I guess, one of the old, like, recommendations that was given to me that even my professor says to do is get one camera, get one lens, make it a prime lens. Don't get a zoom lens. and just use that for, like, I don't know, 2 or 3, 8 years. Like, just use one lens, right?
Just
so,
use that.
Yeah, like a 35... something, you know, that you see around 40 something. So a 35 is pretty natural. In my okay, this is my opinion. I love a 35. It's like a standard wide angle lens. And just stick with that. Like, but it depends on what you want to do. Because, like, if you want to shoot birds, you're going to need a big, long zoom lens, right? If you want to shoot sports, once again, you're going to need a big, long lens because you're going to be far away from the action. So it really depends on what you want. But for me, if you want to shoot street photography or, like, just your life, I think an everyday walk around lens is like a 35 equivalent. So that would be a 23 on a crop sensor. Or you could get film.
Film.
Yeah, you could buy a camera and go just do that.
And just use that. In closing, I will say I'm not sure what type of camera I'm going to get.
We can talk more.
But I will just use that. But there is no doubt that somebody out there could absolutely use this. And by this, I mean the conversation that you gave us today. It was brilliant. Oh, we appreciate you for coming out, spending some time with us. Thank you for joining us. And thank you all again for joining us for another episode of The Warehouse. See you next time. Bye-bye.